The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'm recording here. So a warm welcome to everybody. It's really lovely to see you all and to practice together. It's a beautiful thing that, you know, day after day we come back here and like touch base and practice, and some of you have been here a lot. It's really, really wonderful, really wonderful. So something I wanted to just talk about is that sometimes we do find ourselves in difficult situations or conflicts, and sometimes our problems feel insurmountable. They feel like it's too much. And we have pain, we have anger, we have fear, sadness, and within ourselves, within our communities, our families, and we're looking for a way to find a respite, to get out of the suffering. Of course we are, of course we are. And part of what maybe the Buddhist practice in general, like the really big picture, is they're saying that even in the worst situations, in the most difficult experiences, even in the when things do feel like there's no way forward or seems we feel stuck, that even in all those types of situations, indeed all situations, the heart and the mind can be free. So it doesn't mean that we can change the external circumstances, but we can change our response to that circumstance, to the difficulties. And this is so much what the Buddhist teachings are about, is how to meet the difficulties, the stress, the suffering of everyday existence, from the mundane irritants to the really extreme suffering difficulties. And part of the way that we do that, of course, is to train the mind and the heart so that it doesn't fall into just the habitual ways of responding, of complaining or pushing back or closing down or hating or blaming or running away. Of course, all of us do this. It's just a human natural response. And practice is to help us find another way that can help us find freedom, find peace and ease in the midst of even the greatest difficulties. And Jack Kornfield writes that we can remember the transformative power of forgiveness and loving kindness. That this is a way that can shift the response in our heart. And to be sure, right, this isn't our first response. It isn't easy. It isn't something that happens immediately when we first encounter these teachings or these practices. But it can happen. It does happen. And it starts where we find a little bit more freedom in some of the just little bit irritating places. They no longer become so irritating. It's just like, oh yeah, okay, here's that thing again. And it stops becoming a problem. Maybe the external circumstances haven't changed, but somehow like the problemness has drained out of it. And because our response is different. So we can remember that no matter where we are or what we are facing, that peace within our hearts and minds is possible. Is possible. And Jack Kornfield, he brings in Viktor Frankl. Many of you know that he wrote this book, such a touching, beautiful book, Man's Search for Meaning, about his experiences in the concentration camps in Auschwitz. And this is a quote from Viktor Frankl. "We who lived in the concentration camps can remember those who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. they may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Probably most of you are familiar with Viktor Frankl's book, but it's so, I'm just using this word, touching. I was looking at it a little bit earlier today. And I even saw that I didn't know that there were some videos of him speaking. So this idea that we can choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Viktor Frankl wasn't a Buddhist practitioner. And maybe some of what we're offering with Happy Hour are some of the tools, maybe some ideas, some practices to support this movement so that we can find peace and openness no matter what our life brings us. And it's really helpful if we can have practiced when it's easier. You know, I'm often saying, start where it's easy, start where it's easy. You know, it wouldn't be surprising that as our lives go on and we approach death, that there's going to be some tough times. So part of why we practice now is to help us deal with our daily lives now, but also to prepare for the aging and impending death. We're all going to die, of course. So it'd be nice to be able to choose our responses to the difficulties that life brings us and to feel like we have some, I'm using this expression, tools in a toolkit, but that we have some experience of some practices. I remember hearing a story that Jack Kornfield taught. This was right before a long retreat, and he was, we hadn't gone into silence yet, right? And we were, for those of you who go on retreat, like at the very beginning, you know, there's a certain, there's a certain energy about, okay, are we really going to do this? That kind of a feeling. Are we really going to sit in silence? And he talked about how he had recently received a letter from somebody who had heard a teaching from Jack like decades earlier and had practiced for a short bit and never practiced again. But then they were in a terrible, terrible car accident, and whether in the hospital and during the recovery, they said that this is when the practice came back to them and really made a big difference, really made a big difference for them. So I'm just offering this, that there's for us to consider not only how this might serve us and difficulties that we might have, but also what would it be like if, I hope with all my heart that none of us are in a concentration camp and are starving. But if we find ourselves in a difficult situation, what would it be like to be that person who's able to comfort others? To be that person who is able to give away the last piece of bread to help somebody? What a beautiful thing. So this is part of why we practice. This is part of why we practice. So today I'm going to do a little, this will be my last one on forgiveness. And we'll be using the same phrases that we've been using before, but I'm just going to end this series on forgiveness as one of the heart practices. I'm borrowing heavily from Jack Kornfield from this. It's not really like in the Buddhist teachings, it's not preserved in the Buddhist literature, but it's such a part of the kind of these heart practices of our keeping our hearts open and responding to what arises. And then before I begin, I just want to remind everybody, there is absolutely no obligation to forgive. There's no obligation. I'm offering this in case it's helpful. And maybe there will be a time and when it's helpful, and maybe not. And if you find that tonight it doesn't resonate with you, then just do some loving kindness practice or do some mindfulness practice. A real encouragement to find your own way with this and your own pace and your own timing. And definitely find your own way with this. It's a tender practice that I think Marie Christine, she put in the chat box on Tuesday, it opens a can of worms. It can. So, and sometimes, you know, it's good to let some of these worms wiggle out, but we get to choose the timing for that when it feels like it's right for us. Okay. So with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. And just to take three long, slow, deep breaths. Sometimes it's helpful to exaggerate the breaths at the beginning to help us connect with them. And then allowing the breath to return to normal. And just noticing the sensations of breathing in and breathing out. Just noticing the beginning, middle, and end of the out-breath. And the beginning, middle, and end of the in-breath. And when the mind wanders, you just very simply, gently begin again. You don't have to make it a problem that we found ourselves lost in thought. can choose our response to that moment of recognizing we've been thinking, and choose kindness, warmth, care. And begin again with the sensations of breathing. Do just a little bit of loving kindness practice, starting where it's easy with a lovable being, someone that just seems natural, that the heart wants to send goodwill or warmth, care to the lovable being. Someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Or maybe an imaginary puppies, kittens, babies. Maybe a furry friend. We can cultivate, develop, strengthen this warm-heartedness by keeping the lovable being in mind and saying these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can be helpful to check in with sensations of the body. Maybe there is a sense of spaciousness or warmth or open-heartedness, in whatever way that means to you. And we can use our embodied experience as a support. Help us feel grounded, present. Maybe also support a sense of openness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And we can build on this warm-heartedness, the lovable being. Maybe there's been a little bit of softness introduced. To do some forgiveness practice. We can say this phrase. There are many ways through my pain, fear, confusion, or anger in which I have harmed, betrayed, or abandoned myself, either knowingly or unknowingly. For the ways I have hurt myself, through action or inaction, I now extend a full and heartfelt forgiveness. I now extend a full and heartfelt forgiveness. There are many ways through my pain, fear, confusion, or anger in which I have harmed, betrayed, or abandoned myself, either knowingly or unknowingly. The ways I've hurt myself through action or inaction, I now extend a full and heartfelt forgiveness. I now extend a full and heartfelt forgiveness. For the ways I have harmed myself through action or inaction. There are many ways through my pain, fear, confusion, or anger in which I've harmed, betrayed, or abandoned myself, either knowingly or unknowingly. The ways I've hurt myself through action or inaction. And now extend a full and heartfelt forgiveness. And then we can do forgiveness practice in another direction. There are many ways that I have hurt and harmed others. I've betrayed or abandoned them, caused them suffering, knowingly or unknowingly. What if my pain, fear, anger, or confusion? I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness. There are many ways that I have hurt and harmed others. I've betrayed or abandoned them, caused them suffering, knowingly or unknowingly. What if my pain, fear, anger, or confusion? I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness. And we can do forgiveness practice one more direction. many ways that I've been harmed by others. Abused, oppressed, abandoned, betrayed, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. But if they are fear, pain, confusion, or anger, I've carried this pain in my heart too long. To the extent that I'm ready, I offer them forgiveness. To the extent that I'm ready, I offer them forgiveness. I forgive you. There are many ways that I've been harmed by others. Abused, oppressed, abandoned, betrayed, knowingly or unknowingly. Many ways they've hurt or harmed me out of their fear, pain, confusion, or anger. I've carried this pain in my heart too long. To the extent that I am ready, I offer them forgiveness. To the extent that I am ready, I offer them forgiveness. I forgive you. Then we can do some mindfulness of the body, tuning in to the felt experience of being here now, being grounded in this moment. Maybe feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling the sensations of breathing. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Yes, so this topic of forgiveness, it's really tender, really tender. And have a lot of care and respect and kind of honor your experience. And again, I want to reiterate, there's no obligation here to forgive others. I'm not saying that we have to, just recognizing that the resentment or the pain is taxing on us. And it's a way to help enable us to have a rich, full life, is to let go of that resentment as best we can and when we're ready. So before we go into breakout groups, I would like to, for those of you who don't know, that we do have this new group that's where people can meet online. They can talk amongst themselves outside of this setting. I saw Neil lean forward towards his computer. And Mari, yep, okay, so here Neil just put in a link. And this is just a place for people to connect outside of the official happy hour here. In the chat box, there is a link. And just because, right, as I was mentioning before, I can't remember if it was before or after I put the recording on, that it's just so wonderful. We've been meeting for all these months, and you guys are in breakout rooms and having conversations, and it's just wonderful how relationships are developing. It's so nice to kind of have an opportunity to connect in other settings. And Marie-Christine adds, and making friends, right? So Zoom just puts you randomly into the same group, but if you come often enough, you'll have been in groups maybe with everybody, and sometimes, you know, repeatedly with some of the same people. So it's a beautiful thing. Okay, so so breakout rooms are an opportunity to connect in smaller groups and to talk about the topic that introduced tonight. I was talking about forgiveness, but also this idea that both Viktor Frankl and Jack Kornfield, and I would say even myself, are pointing to, that we can change our response to what life brings us. And part of a loving kindness practice is to help condition the mind, kind of like make grooves in the mind to make it easier and easier that we can respond with an open heart. So in the breakout rooms, you can talk about this idea, A, just forgiveness practice in general, or B, this idea that actually we can have a different response. We can train our minds and hearts to not just be subject to the habitual responses, but part of practice is to change the habitual response. Or you can just talk about what that meditation period was like for you. So I'll put you into groups of three or four, and you'll have about 12 minutes, let's say 11 minutes, maybe 11 minutes to talk to one another about this. And let's do this that by the last digit of your phone number, whichever phone number you use the most. And we'll say that 0 comes before 1. So we'll go in numerical order by the last digit. And then if everybody has the same last digit, then you can do the second to last digit, right? Something like that. You'll figure it out. So to help, so you can go in numerical order by the last digit of your phone number. And it's helpful if just to say one or two ideas, and then it can go to the next person. They say one or two ideas, and then it goes to the next person, one or two ideas. And then it comes back around, as opposed to long monologues. So it's more an opportunity to listen than an opportunity to tell long stories. And this way you can kind of connect and discover new things together. Okay, so have fun. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Would anybody like to make a comment or share something? Yes, Neil.
So I'm not sure if it's just because I haven't done a lot of forgiveness practice, but I find forgiving difficult people who have hurt me actually harder than giving them metta, right? Significantly harder, right? And giving difficult people who've hurt you metta is far from simple, but this is like, you know, is that common? Does that get better with practice? Yeah. Say yeah. Something to make you feel better.
Say something to make you feel better. May you be safe. May you be happy. Yes, Neil.
We could all do it in unison. Maybe he'd really feel a lot better.
Yes. We're all sending you metta, Neil. Of course, what you're describing is, I think, a part of the human experience, right? There's so many ways in which having been hurt in specific ways by specific individuals gets kind of tied up with our sense of self or our sense of the way the world works or the sense of right and wrong. I don't know. It's not so clear. It's not neat and tidy. Not metta isn't neat and tidy either, but it can really touch so many different aspects of our underlying beliefs and way that we move in the world. So it's difficult. It is difficult. And, you know, maybe I'll say this. There has been a little bit of research that shows, and I mentioned a little bit the last time I talked about forgiveness, that often people just discover, oh yeah, I guess I forgave them. There wasn't like a moment that they realized, oh, forgiveness happened. It more just kind of the resentment just kind of fades away without really being noticed. But one thing that I thought was fascinating and maybe just something to consider is that researchers have discovered that often it's when people themselves have been forgiven. That is, they've done a wrongdoing, they've harmed somebody, maybe unintentionally, but they've harmed somebody and they recognize that they've been forgiven. Then it's just easier. Then they just forgive everybody else. There's this connection around forgiveness in this way. So I just offer maybe those three different things. One, maybe it just fades away. Two, it's connected to ideas about ourselves and how the world works. So it has these really tentacles in. And I'm sure I said a third thing that was really great that I can't remember. So is that helpful, Neil? Yes. Okay, great.
Diana?
Yes.
I want to tell a quick story, which I repeat often because I listened to a radio show years ago where an actress who was known for her happy parts was being interviewed. And her life story was horrible. And the interviewer got to like the third incident. And he said, you know, I shouldn't do this, but I've got to stop the interview and ask you how you play the kinds of roles you do with the life you've lived. And this goes to your reference to choices, because she stopped, she paused, and she said, well, you know, at one point I realized I had a choice and I chose joy.
She chose joy.
It's always stayed with me, because I can choose today.
Yeah.
What part of life I look at.
Exactly. And this is why we do this as a practice, forgiveness practice, loving kindness practice, all these things, just so that choice becomes easier, or that we feel like we have a choice, right? If it's just a habit to respond in a particular way, then there isn't choice there. So,